We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Are you ready, Austin?
I'm pumped.
Huh?
I'm pumped. Everybody shout.
Let's go, Bucks! All right, everybody out there, get ready. It's opening day. How can you not be ready? You know the words to this song, right? We do a sing-along. I used to do a sing-along way late at night, right? Pirates play. Hey, listen, Austin.
Yes,
I'm pumped.
Day.
Yes.
I'm excited.
How can you not be? Here we go back.
Listen to the game with my radio on.
Yes.
The rhythm of the Bucko song.
Here we go. Ready, go.
Stop your feet, line drive. Everybody shout.
Root for our home team.
A new
Ready?
Pirate generation.
Everybody shout. Let's go, Bucks. Huh? It's baseball season, but how can you not be pumped?
And the first day of baseball season is just so much more exciting. I don't know why, than football season,
yes.
Basketball season, or hockey season.
I think it's just... Baseball is an organic sport. Every day is a different day, ain't it?
It really is.
Football, you have the same lineup. You have the same quarterback. Every day you got a different lineup, a different storyline. Baseball is back, baby. Huh? One more time. Let's go. Root for our home team. Let's go, everybody out there. Let's go, Bucks. Everybody shout, let's go, Bucks! Yes! Are you pumped for baseball season, Austin?
I'm very excited. And a lot more than the past 5 years, because I think they can take another step.
I mean, this is probably the first time in a number of years where I think there's legitimate optimism for the Pirates. And there should be. There should be. You know, we're going to talk all about the Pirates. We've got Dan Zangrilli coming in at 11. We've got Jason Mackey at 10:30. Also, at 1 o'clock, we've got Mike DeCourcy to break down the Sweet 16 and beyond. And we can also give him a hard time about his thoughts on the ACC. I'm sure he'll Mike is always great. I love Mike. He's he's soon to be a Pittsburgher again. Did you know that, Austin?
He was at the tournament games at PPG. I saw him there for the first and second rounds.
Yes, but he's moving back. Like they moved away. I guess him and his wife moved away like 25, 30 years ago. He's moving back, I guess, next week. So he's still going to work for the Sporting News and all of his other jobs, you know, with the Big Ten Network.
Yeah, Fox.
But... He's gonna be back. So we'll have a good time talking to him about the Sweet 16 and have a little bit of fun with him as we always do. And as you know, if you haven't figured out yet, Joe is not here, and he won't be here for the next 4 days, meaning the next 4 business days, because he's going to Florida. He's in Florida right now. I think he left last night, and he's on a much deserved vacation. And I think at the other part of it is, even Mike Tomlin's fired up. He just tweeted out, good luck, Derek Shelton and the Pirates. Looking forward to watching some Buccos baseball this season. Mike Tomlin gets it, right?
Yeah, you see that from a lot of people around the city and teams. The Steelers have put something out. Tomlin, I'm sure the Penguins at some point today, the Riverhounds.
Yes.
All in support of teams that begin their season. It happens every year with every team.
Well, I just think, again, it's always incredible. So, baseball. But back to Joe. Now, the plan is tomorrow he's going to be hanging out with Ron Cook.
Yeah, tomorrow night. Maybe watching some baseball together.
What we should have done was we should have sent a remote crew down there. We should have sent you and, one of our engineers, Amanda, somebody like that. Joel's, right? Took the road trip, and you could have had they could have done a reunion show, Cook and Joe reunion show down there.
I would not pass up a trip to Florida.
Yes. Easter weekend, right? Have a little bit of fun. So we are absolutely pumped up about the Pirates, and as we should be, there's optimism about the Pirates, and hopefully we can get you even more fired up by the end of this show. But in Joe tradition, I think we need to start with the six pack, right? So let's do the six pack. I'll throw out the subject and I'll talk a little bit about it, and you can give me your thoughts. Okay, the easiest place to start, and the one place to start is: do the Pirates have enough pitching to get to the finish line this year? And when I say finish line, I mean over 81 wins. That to me is the finish line. Do they have enough pitching to get to 83 wins or 84 wins? And because if you get to 83, 84 wins, then you're starting to talk about maybe even winning the division, depending on, you know, what goes on with the other teams. I happen to think it's going to take about 86 wins, 87 wins to win the division. But you know what? I could point to lots of flaws in every one of the other teams that we, share a division with. So I'm saying if you can get to 83, 84 wins, you're going to start to really talk about, hey, we are in it. So the question I threw out there for the first six pack, and of course, I guess in honor of Ron, we should say is it free or free light? I'm a diabetic, so it's free light. I think that's going to be their downfall, which is why I picked them to win 78 games, 77, 78 games. I just don't think they've got enough. Marco Gonzalez, to me, and I know it's, spring training is spring training, but I just don't know that he's got much left in the tank. I think Martin Perez will be a plugger. I think he'll be okay. Mitch Keller is Mitch Keller. I just don't know about whatever the other parts of it are going to be. I know everybody's really, really excited about some of the prospects that they have. And, they still have Ronzi Contreras. They still have Luis Ortiz. I mean, I'm looking at what they have here, and I'm just not really all that sold that they've got quite enough to get to the finish line. So, that's going to be the only thing that gives me pause not to basically say this is going to be an 83-84 win team.
It's my main concern. I think what Derek Shelton's probably going to do, and we saw it a little bit of last year, we've seen it every year that he's been here, they're going to try to hope that Marco Gonzalez or whoever, Bailey Falter, can go four innings, maybe five, and then bring in the bullpen. They can be a top five bullpen this year. When healthy, Holderman and Majinski will begin the season on the IL.
Yeah, which is an issue, by the way.
It is.
Okay.
Holderman will be ready probably in about 15 days or so. He's back to throwing now. But regardless, that's their plan, other than Keller, once Skeens gets here, and for Martin Perez, and probably for Jared Jones. And it's not a foolproof one, especially if Bailey Falters it up in the first inning, and it might backfire right in their face to the point where you might have 80 wins in the last week of September. But a couple of these early games in April, when you throw Falter out there and no Skeens, or somebody else that's inconsistent, that might be what comes back to haunt you.
Okay. Go ahead, crack another beer. All right, this one is an interesting one. Are you ready? Henry Davis, O'Neill Cruz, the first base platoon. Are you ready? Are you ready? Henry Davis, O'Neill Cruz, the first base platoon, right?
Yeah.
And let's say Jack Sawinski. Does that add up to 100 home runs?
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
I'm going to say they fall a little bit short.
Okay. Well, I mean, here's my thing. Here's where I'm looking. Here's where my head's at, right? I think O'Neal Cruz hits 38.
I think 31.
Okay. So I'll say 38, you say 31. That's probably the difference. That's why they're going to fall short.
Yes.
I think he hits 38. I think Davis might hit 18.
He's going to hit 20.
18, 20. Sawinski probably hits 20 to 22.
I think it's the first base platoon that falls short.
So you're not a fan of the Connor Joe Rowdy Tellez show?
No, we're not getting rowdy too much here at first base.
Okay, so, well, I mean – I think they get to 100 home runs. I think the Rowdy Tellez, Connor Joe combination hits about 15 or 18. I think they get 20 from 20 from Hank Davis. So that puts you right there at 38.
Let's do some math on the spot because I'm so bad at it.
Well, I'm saying that does about 38. I think
right.
35 to 38 for Cruz. That puts you over 70. At that point, if Sawinski hits 22, 23, you're there.
And Sawinski hit 26 last year.
Right, exactly. So my point is, I think they get to 100.
Yeah, they very well could.
I think they get to 100.
And if they fall short, it's going to be by a couple.
It's only going to be a few. So to me, I think when you look at it that way, the power is going to be better than it has been. And so we'll see what happens, but I really believe that. So let's crack another one. Okay, here we go. So we know that the rotation right now is going to be Mitch Keller, right?
Yep.
Jared Jones is in the rotation to start, right?
Correct.
Falter.
Yeah.
Martin Perez.
Yep.
Marco Gonzalez. That's your starting rotation to start the season.
The first four in Miami are Keller, Perez, Jones, and then Falter, I think it
okay,
is.
Okay, so
or Gonzalez.
So basically what we're talking about is that's your rotation. So here's a legitimate question I have, and I'm going to throw it to you, and then I'll give you my thoughts. How many of those five will still be in the rotation in, say, mid-August?
Three.
Which three?
Keller, Jones, and Perez.
Wow.
I think Bailey Falter is gone probably by the middle of May, whether that's AAA or just completely off the roster. And Marco Gonzalez, is he going to get traded or he's going to be inefficient and be gone?
Yeah. So here's my thoughts. I'm going to work backwards. Okay. I think that Marco Gonzalez is the guy that will absolutely not be in the rotation by August. There's no question about it. And for the reason you said, he's either going to stink and be gone, or they're going to trade him at the trade deadline because he's going to be reasonably good. So I think there's no chance he's going to be in August, still in the rotation. Bailey Falter, I think, you know, we know what he is. He's a placeholder. They hope that they can squeeze five or six starts out of him, and, you know, he's reasonably good. And the fact that they, you know, if they can, if his six or seven, you know, say they get seven starts out of him, if he can go 4-3 or something,
I hope they'll take that.
Yeah, you know, I mean, if they can go 4-3 in those seven starts, I don't think he'll go 4-3 because I don't think he's going to get the six innings, you know, enough to get that many decisions. But so I would agree with him. I think Martin Perez could be a guy they trade too.
Well, I haven't won 85 games, so somebody's got to stay in that rotation.
I'm just saying he's another guy that I think he's going to be good. And I think, you know, I heard someone, I think it was Crowley, was comparing him to Rich Hill, and he could be a Rich Hill kind of guy that has a decent first half of the season, and the Pirates get to the trade deadline, you know, that they can't help themselves.
Yeah, he's a different type of pitcher, though, than Rich Hill. Not throwing 80 miles an hour, throwing curveballs up there at 64.
What I mean is he's going to be effective.
Yes.
As a starter. Effective enough that other teams that are in contention are going to want him. And the Pirates usually can't help themselves when it comes to that. So I'll say those three. Okay. Jared Jones is a rookie. Or, you know. I don't know, man. That's I'd have to see a precedent for that. I have a feeling he's probably going to have a few different trips back down to the minors.
Wouldn't surprise me if they sent him down once or twice.
You know what I mean?
Not at all. Even if that's like a service
time
thing.
And that means to me that the only guarantee, the third week of August or whatever, the only guarantee who's still going to be in this rotation is Mitch Keller. Which goes back to my point of the fact that 78 wins is where I feel this team is going to probably be. Because I just feel like they have pitching instability, and the rotation is what it is. And here's the thing. There ain't a lot of help in the Quinn Priesters of the world.
Nope.
That's the problem. Ronzi Contreras was supposed to be that guy. He was supposed to, well, we're going to fix him this offseason. He's going to come back. He's been a disaster. The only reason he even made the team is because he's out of options. If he still had options, he would be in Indianapolis.
There's no doubt about it.
Think about that. So that kind of instability in the rotation makes it really difficult for me to say, yeah, okay, this team is good enough. That they're going to get to the finish line with 81 or 82 or 83 wins. I just don't see it.
Well, their quote-unquote help is also in Double-A and maybe Triple-A and Solomato and Bubba Chandler. But at the same time, you can't bank on prospects to be able to come up and solve just have all the answers.
No, that's the problem.
You just can't.
I mean, that's the biggest problem that you know that they have, I think, really. You know, it's really a difficult thing in my mind to reconcile. All right, let's do one more. Go ahead. Crack it open. As we know, it's opening day. This is what we're going to ask, and this is a really important question. Will Henry Davis, by the end of this year, solidify the idea or the fact that he is their catcher for the long term? Or will there still be questions out there about him?
I think there still will be some questions. The questions will be minute compared to this year. But I think that's not really a Davis thing, but more so they believe that Andy Rodriguez is a really good defensive catcher and they want him to be there. Or else they'd move off Andy to a different position, which they might end up doing because they realize that, at least we all realize, that Henry Davis playing right field is not a viable option. So there will still be a couple questions, but not as loud of noise as there was coming into this spring.
Right. I think it's going to be interesting because I think if he plays well and he proves that he can competently handle the position, and he's got a long way to go. You know, I know that they've been talking about, well, he's doing better. He's doing better. He's getting better at the aspects of it. I just don't know. But my question then becomes, what do you do with him? It would be really silly to not have him available next year, to not have him available to play 130 games because Andy Rodriguez is your starting catcher.
Well, they might have Andy catch and have Davis DH. I mean, if McCutcheon's back or not next year, who knows?
Again,
that might be what happens.
Again, they could do that, but then they were going to have to carry another catcher because—
Correct.
You know, as I don't know. I think if he proves that he's good enough, I think if he proves that he's good enough, then what they have to do, I think, move Andy Rodriguez. Andy Rodriguez has played first before a little bit.
He's played some second.
Yeah,
he's outfield.
So let him play. You know, Davis was a disaster in the field. Well, that's how we get you going with a little bit of Earth, Wind, and Fire always. Well, today we had to get you started with the Pirates Generation, but a little Earth, Wind, and Fire, good for your soul, as I always say. We all need a little soul food. So hopefully you're off and running to a really good Thursday morning. I know this guy is coming up here is excited because it's opening day for baseball. And that, of course, is our good friend from the Post-Gazette, Jason Mackey. And Jason, this is a little different, I think, than maybe some of the other opening days we've had over the course of time, because there seems to be genuine, real, legitimate optimism about this Pirates team. And, well, I see you predict 83 wins, so that tells me that you think a lot of the optimism is justified.
Yeah, I do, Paul. I do. I guess I'll start with the lineup. I understand the questions about the starting rotation. I have them too. I'll get to why I think they can get to 83 wins, but I do think this offense is going to be a lot better than it was last year. I wrote about the biggest reason why, O'Neill Cruz. I think that this can be a star breakout kind of year for Cruz. And this lineup, 1-9, should actually be pretty good. I like what Henry Davis did. That's obviously going to help them a lot. I think Andrew McCutchen still has plenty in the tank. Ke'Bryan Hayes, Brian Reynolds, they're doing what they did last year. But this should be a halfway dangerous lineup. I think they can at least be in the middle third, around 14, 15, 16 scoring runs. My question right now is, I think, probably on the minds of a lot of people, did they do enough to fix the starting rotation? I don't think they did right away. I like what they did with Jared Jones. I think the key for them is probably to not keep Paul Skenes down terribly long. I think I've been on record saying, I think by Memorial Day, I think it needs to be that. If they're going to contend, Skenes has to be a part of this. I don't see what other route they can go. I mean, Bailey Falter is not the answer. I could even present to you Eric Lauer in AAA, who would be a better option than Falter at this point, which I know is not going to necessarily move the needle, but they really need to figure out the starting pitching.
Well, I think that's the big thing, is the rotation. And here is the one question. You know, we do a little segment called Six Pack at the start. And so we throw some questions out. And here's one of the things that I threw out there. Of the current guys that are in the starting rotation, so that would be Perez, Gonzalez, Keller, Jones, and Falter. Of those five guys, who is going to still be in the rotation in, say, mid to late August?
Well, Keller, Jones, no on Falter. I would probably say no on Perez and Gonzalez at this point. I mean, if this goes the way the Pirates would hope or think it would go, I mean, Skenes is going to take one of those spots. And then the other one, I mean, you're going to get Brubaker back. You're going to get Burrows back. I would hope one or both of those guys are up here doing their thing. I brought up Lauer earlier. I mean, maybe Herman, Quinn Priester, Luis Ortiz, I don't know. But, you know, I think ideally for the Pirates, they signed Perez, they signed Gonzalez to be good veterans, but I think you still, I guess, try to deal. It's going to be a really weird question for them. And, you know, those two, along with Aroldis Chapman, some other guys who might generate some trade interest, I know that's way down the line, but, you know, I would like to see the Pirates rolling with younger guys who are going to be here, and obviously that includes Skenes. I have a tough time seeing they would ride it out with guys on expiring contracts like that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's always, to me, the key, because obviously they're going to have to make room for Skenes. My thing with Jones is he's, you know, it's entirely possible he could be, you know, sent back down. I mean, because he's young, and, you know, young guys tend to struggle. So to me, the only guarantee is probably Mitch Keller. The only guarantee of guarantees is Mitch Keller, right?
Yeah, and I mean, I guess why I say that, what I did previously, is that they are better equipped in their system with arms than they are anything else. You know, if it was a position player, I might be more inclined to say they stick around if they don't have the necessary backfill. But you would hope that with young guys coming along, I mean, I don't know about Jones. I certainly like seeing a guy with four pitches, the right attitude about pitching, you know, really good feel for a changeup, throwing in the high 90s. I mean, that guy has the tools to stick. I don't know if he will or not. We'll see. I would certainly agree that Skeens is going to be up and rotating or occupying one of those rotation spots. So, yeah, I mean, again, I just think we can't definitively say it's going to stink. But you can look at this and say, man, this is what they had last year. This is what they had now. Like, do I feel better about this group and knowing how important starting pitching is? For sure going to take them over 500. And I'd like to think so, and I do think so, but I understand why people don't feel that way too.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's going to be the thing that really determines this season in many, many ways. Now, you've talked about the lineup, of course. You know, it's my opinion if O'Neill Cruz is healthy the whole season, and when I mean healthy, I mean he plays, you know, 130, 140 games, whatever it is. He could hit 40 home runs. I mean, I don't think that is out of the question. I mean, am I overestimating him?
No, I completely agree with you, Paul. And sorry to cut you off, but I mean, I think that's a completely fair expectation. I mean, this is a guy that flicks his bat at the ball and somehow gets it over the fence. Like, I don't think it's crazy to think with good swing decisions, plate discipline, important stuff that I've talked about with you guys before that we saw in the spring that leads me to believe that this guy can match up his considerable talent with production. And if you tell me O'Neill Cruz is going to play 140 games, yeah, I'm saying, like, I'm expecting at least 30, and I certainly wouldn't be surprised at 40. He's that good. And I mean, you give me a guy with the way he's going to do 40, the way he can run, the things he does on a baseball field, that's not going, you can't help but bring attention to that. People are going to love it, and I think it's going to be so much fun seeing this kid. You know, we know about him in Pittsburgh. I think people that have actually spent the time to follow the Pirates, you know, around baseball, know what this kid can be. But I think it's going to be so much bigger than that if he goes for 30, or certainly goes for 40.
Yeah, I think that's the big thing to me. You know, I always look at it like this, Jason. You know, who are the dynamic players with a real legitimate chance to be superstars, and the Pirates have one.
Skeens is in that category too.
Skeens, absolutely, but he's not here yet. I'm talking about the guys that are here, but also let's just go with position players. They have one in Cruz, a guy that I think everybody who really follows baseball knows could be that big time breakout superstar player that you know every franchise would love to have.
Yeah, I actually, and that's the topic of my preview column. I talked to Andrew McCutchen about this. I thought Kutch was excellent, and you know, I was asking him about Cruz, and he brought up some really good points. He called him the 1% of the 1%, likened him to Mookie Betts, Mike Trout, Shohei Ohtani, Ronald Acuna Jr. And he said he can do all of the things that those guys can do, and frankly, a little bit more. And then Kutch started talking about his own abilities. Like, I never had the power to do what Cruz can do, or the speed or the arm strength. You know, if he figures out everything else, you know, the mental side, which we've seen signs of. I mean, I get asked a lot, like, what's this kid's ceiling, what he can be? I don't know. I mean, I try to give the best answer I can, but you're telling me a guy that hits the ball harder than anybody that this franchise has seen, most anybody throughout Major League Baseball. And you're going to give him, you know, a better understanding of what he's doing at the plate, better discipline, that sort of stuff. Like, my gosh. I mean, it's just, he can be so dynamic. And that's one reason. And it circles back to the rotation with me again. Like, we're talking about the lineup. Defensively is something sneaky I think they could actually be pretty good at with Michael A. Taylor, Hayes, Triolo, et cetera. Their bullpen could be really good. Like, the Pirates have a lot of very key posts sort of set up. It's just that starting pitching in a rotation that includes Bailey Falter. Like, I just can't understand why that exists Like, that should be better. They said it was going to be better. They talked about improving it and trade and this, that, and the other. And we're looking at a guy with a 6 and change ERA since he became a Pirate somehow in the rotation. I don't understand that.
Yeah. The question with Henry Davis, and this is a valid one too. Is he going to do enough this year, you think, to prove that he's the catcher of the future?
I mean, I think so. Yes, I do. I mean, I've watched a lot of Henry since February 12th or 14th, I think, is our first day in the facility. I've seen nothing to indicate that he can't. Ben Charrington gave a good answer on this the other day. I asked him about Henry, and he said, we just got to a point where we stopped worrying about, can he do this? Like, he's just another catcher. The bat will play. The catching will play. Few people work as hard as Davis, are as smart as Davis, care as much as Davis. Like, you're telling me all those inputs are going to suddenly add up to zero. I'm not buying it. I do think he's going to show that he's the catcher of the future. I think that's going to create some questions down the line about how to balance the catching situation, what to do with Andy Rodriguez, et cetera. But, I mean, you answer them when you get there. The basic one is, can this dude handle himself behind the plate and give them what they need? And I absolutely think he's going to show that he's legitimate back there. My question is, he's a 1-1 pick. Is he going to add premium value at this position? And I certainly think that's possible. I think he's going to show himself to be the catcher of the future. Like, is he a catcher of the future that's like an all-star and perennially at the top of his position? We'll see. I think it's possible, but very impressed with Henry this spring.
Well, I would say that is that to me is a big question. Then does Andy go to a different position, or?
I don't know. I mean, he could. Andy has played first base in the past. I don't know what Andy going to first base would mean for, say, Jared Triolo, because you also have Tamar Johnson coming up at second base. What does that mean for Leover Peguero and Nick Gonzalez? I don't know. Does G1 Bay fit in any? I mean, you could fall down a rabbit hole. And Eddie Rodriguez, as much as I like the kid, had an OPS, I think, in the fives or low sixes last year. Like, it just has to be better than that. I don't care what position you're playing. But now, I believe a lot in Andy, and I think he can be a very valuable part of this team. I don't know. I mean, I think the question that we have had answered and was a legitimate one in the offseason is, Henry Davis going to have a position? What I've seen in spring, unless he suddenly turns into a pumpkin during the regular season, which I don't think he's going to do, he's going to have a position. Now, how they balance everything else on top of that, I don't know. And another part of that, too, would be, Andrew McCutchen isn't going to play forever. Those DH reps become open. Like, do they split the DH reps between Andy and Henry and then split them behind the plate? I don't know. We're just going to have to see what happens this season.
Speaking of first base, there seems to be a very wide opinion as to what the platoon of Connor Joe and Rowdy Tellez is going to produce for the Pirates. I'm not sure how much Tellez has left, but I think it can work. Am I being overly optimistic?
No, you're not. And this is one misconception about the Pirates last season, and I didn't get this either until I looked into it. If you look at their numbers with Carlos Santana versus what they looked like with Connor Joe and Alfonso Rivas last year, they were better with the platoon. And that's what the Pirates are going for. They're trying to put two guys in a position to succeed. And, I look at it that way, and I also look at it this way. With veteran players, you often aren't getting their best in the spring, and we know that. Marco Gonzalez is an example of it. We've seen with other guys, Tyler Anderson, Jose Quintana, et cetera. Don't react to spring training results. I know Rowdy Tellez was not good in spring. Brian Reynolds wasn't good in spring. And nobody's expressing concern like Brian Reynolds is washed. I don't get the whole hate over Rowdy Tellez. Frankly, I've been impressed by Rowdy Tellez's defense. It's better than I've thought. I think there's a lot there. I think it's an important personality for this clubhouse to have. They haven't had anybody like Rowdy Tellez in quite a while. And I see what they're doing with the platoon. You're trying to put these guys in their position of strength. And Rowdy should play a lot against right-hand pitching. You're going to see Connor Joe against lefties. They're going to want to get Connor Joe at bat. So given what I saw out of the platoon last year, man, I'm with you. I know some people disagree with it, thought they should have done more, but I'm absolutely fine with splitting time there.
Yeah, I mean, I think it can absolutely work. Last one, Jason, I will get you on your way. You look around the division, kind of give us your thoughts on real briefly on each team, and then I'm of the opinion 85, 86 wins might be enough to win this division, so you tell me if I'm wrong or I'm right. So go ahead.
You are not wrong, Paul. I completely agree with that. 85 should about do it. I think it's kind of a mishmash of mediocrity, again, which goes back to the starting rotation thing, and I'm a little bit surprised they didn't invest more because it's there for the taking. The Reds, you can kind of look at them. I don't know why I'm starting with Cincinnati, but I am. Like, the Matt McClain injury is a little bit worrisome to me, but I like a lot of their young kids and what they have there. I think they're going to be in the mix. I like Ellie De La Cruz a lot, and Spencer Steer and some other young guys they had come through last year. I think they're going to be very much in the mix of things. The Brewers, I have learned to not count out. They lost a lot on the pitching side. They also, I did a Wisconsin radio hit yesterday, and I said to them, like, it's just, they always find these no-name guys that go in there and produce, especially on the pitching side. So they'll figure it out. A little bit more concerned with the Cardinals. I've seen them picked to finish near the bottom of the division quite a bit. I'm not sure if that lineup is good enough. And Sonny Gray being hurt, don't love that. Did the Cubs do enough, or is some of their going to, what they did, is that going to last? I go back and forth. Like, this is a boring, generic answer, but I feel like the team that stays the healthiest is probably going to be in the mix, and somebody's going to be beset, besieged, whatever, by injuries. And I think that's probably the team that you're going to see, oh, man, these guys just don't have it. Because I think one thing I could probably say about the division writ large is just none of these teams are deep enough, and they all have their flaws. And if somebody gets hit hard in an area of weakness, it's going to be bad. I hope it's not the Pirates. I hope they don't have a bunch of starting pitching injuries, because that would be very bad news. But at the same time, I look at it and say that this division, the Pirates should be able to be competitive in. They should be able to be competitive later in the year.
Yeah. Well, hopefully, it's going to be a season that lives up to what many people think it's going to be, because it's been a while since we've had a lot of baseball to look forward to.
It has. It's been too long, man. I wrote something yesterday, and I was like digging back through my memory about the John Ryan Murphys and Gerard Dysons and Kevin Padlos and all the junk that we've seen come through here over the past couple of years. Somebody emailed me and said, it's been a lot longer than 4 years. Like, yeah, I know. But I also know that the Pirates haven't had a lineup this talented in quite some time, and some young players with some term on their contract. And the bullpen should be good. They should score runs. They should defend. I have fair questions about the starting rotation, but when it comes down to it, I do think they are markedly more competitive, and they should be certainly watchable, if not a surprising team for longer than they were last year.
Jason, thank you so much. Great stuff. And enjoy the game, sir.
I will. Thanks so much, Paul.
All Take right. care, guys. That's Jason Mackey from the Post-Gazette. He's down in Florida getting ready for Pirates against Marlins. They play four in Florida, right? They play four in Miami. Is that what it is?
Yes.
And then so he will be down there, obviously, to chronicle what's going on, although I think he is going to be handing off the beat prior to them getting to Washington on Monday. And so they play Miami and then Washington. And then next week, next Friday, their home opener against Baltimore. This is what I always say. I always believe this.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.